Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. On September 4th, at a town committee meeting, Coburg Mayor Lucas Cleveland floated the idea of separating from the county. Warden Brian Ostrander came on this show 2 weeks ago to respond to his idea. A lot has happened since then. On today's show, Cleveland will elaborate. He will talk about his original motivation to propose a separation. He will also share his new vision for a restructured Northumberland County. He will answer his critics. Plus, he will explain how he feels sitting in the chambers at County Council from when he was elected until today. I am delighted to welcome Coburg Mayor Lucas Cleveland. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
I appreciate it, Robert. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Let's go back a bit. At a meeting held on September 4th, 2024, for the Community Services, Protection and Economic Development Standing Committee, there was a debate about the council's response to the encampment and sheltered people. You described the town's approach as only dealing with the symptoms and not the sickness. What did you mean by that?
Great way to start an interview, Robert. I think it's in response, those comments were directly in response to Mr. Bison's delegation, as you're aware. And to be honest, his delegation regarding taxation without representation really resonated. Over the last 2 years, as my sort of first step into the political foray, I've been working really hard to raise the concerns of Coburg residents at the county. And time again at the county, my concerns have just completely gone unaddressed. You see, community engagement, community engagement, Robert, is something that here in Coburg we take exceptionally seriously. My open door policy has been instrumental. And the reason, sir, is I always wanted to make the office of the mayor more accessible and transparent. And I'm really proud, actually, of my Coburg councillors, because they continue to connect with Coburg residents, and they really work at bringing those concerns to the council floor, where we can discuss, make decisions, and you can see the effects at the Coburg council level of hearing the residents and then making changes regarding those residents. Well, you see, Mr. Bison said something very, very specific in his delegation, and that's that we are paying a third of our taxes to the county and yet have almost no ability to influence the impact of the county's decisions on our community. I mean, what Mr. Bison is suggesting is that Coburg needs more voices. We need to actually have people at the county be accountable to the residents whose decisions they are affecting.
So well, when you on that note, though, you at the county have a weighted vote. You have, I believe it's the equivalency of 6 votes. Is that correct? Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're correct.
So doesn't that give you the leverage that you're looking for?
No, 100%. Not again, Robert. Perhaps now you've just given away my secret as to why I'm growing Coburg so fast, because the faster our population grows, the more weighted votes we have and the more we'll be able to influence county. There is a nuance to the growth projections of Coburg, because the larger population, the more weighted votes. And so, you know, if cessation isn't an option, well, then we'll just grow our population enough so that we have a majority. But no, with my weighted votes, sir, I still need 2 other members at the county council to side with me to get a majority. And so, I mean, you asked, why is it at the county, I'm the voice of Coburg, am I not able to move the conversation or adequately represent Coburg interests? And the reality is, sir, for the last 2 years, I have not faced such a toxic place, maybe outside my grade 3 teacher, Miss Martin. Two counselors at the county act like, well, in my opinion, I won't say act like, I'm not saying they are. In my opinion, there are two counselors at the county who literally act like schoolyard bullies on the council floor. Mr. Washburn, I've been told to shut up on multiple occasions. I've been called arrogant and ignorant. I've been told most recently that I'm not the head zookeeper at the zoo. And I mean, let's not even get into the interesting metaphor that this counselor used describing like encampment residents of. But like at the last county meeting, the mayor of Brighton literally told me, you better watch your tone. Like, okay, I'm not really sure what you're going to do if I don't. You see, Mr. Washman, before you ask a question, I think we have to talk about, you're like, well, why can't you adequately represent Coburg? Well, let's look at the mayors of Cramie and Brighton. I think they're confused, sir. I think they think they're my boss. And their opinions of me doesn't actually matter, yet they think they should.
Before we get too far into that, because I want to come back to that, but I'd like to stay with for a moment with what you said at the standing committee, because I think that's really important, because that was the genesis of all of this. And at the same meeting, you suggested separating from the county is an option.
Yes.
So, and you said, I'm going to quote you here, what you said: if we want to actually fix, or at least put us on a path to fixing 90% of the issues we face in this community, 90% of the issues that our residents are upset with, that we get thousands of emails about, what we need to do is either adjust our relationship within the County of Northumberland organizations so we have better opportunities to make decisions for our own town, or we need to look at separating from the county. And these are actually the two options we have. Now, the first option speaks to reworking the relationship, but separation is different. How did you come up with that as an option at that
Oh,
meeting?
so here's the thing. I think you're making an assumption that I'd come up with that idea at the meeting, Robert. I think we have to take it even back further to where this cessation movement started. When did I start receiving emails en masse from the Coburg residents about their distaste and disgust at the county's decisions? You see, I'm going to actually refer to a podcast you put out, sir. The mayor of Brighton on your podcast recently said that, quote, he doesn't like references to the Boston Tea Party.
The impact on taxes. We're talking about now we're going to have to pay for all this waste collection, the recycling, the
Again,
ambulance, the county roads, all
Robert,
that
that's
stuff.
not true.
Okay,
It's already being
how is it?
paid for by the County of Northumberland, and all I've done is cut us all into single tiers, sir. I mean, there are people whose profession is to get into the depths of this. And, sir, that's not you or I. I want to be very clear, but the math here, everything that was said by the mayor of Brighton, that's because he thought Coburg was going to just disappear. No, what we're talking about is Brighton moving on, Trent Hills moving on, and the five of us coming together under 160,000 resident, I think it's 1,200 square kilometers. Like, if anything, it makes sense. This is the fact that you've got a gentleman who's only got 2 years' experience and 6 years in the community suggesting that, the reality is there are minds whose job it is to look at this. And if we start looking at the math, we already have ambulance services. We already have all of the services at the county. I've just gotten rid, again, of five governments into one, and two have joined others that already exist. So, again, we don't need to get into minutiae details. I want to be very clear. But when you start talking about this is how change actually happens.
Fair enough. But when you do make these suggestions and you want to put it out there for the purpose of debate, which is what you said to me, I think it's fair to say, people might be sitting in their homes listening to this going, well, wait a minute, how's this going to impact my taxes? So I don't think it's out of the blue to
Well,
start talking about it, at
no,
least
I
at
don't.
some level, and to try and have some answers that, will assuage people's concerns, because obviously that's a really, really big one.
I would say, Mr. Sorry, Robert, is that what's going to happen is you're actually going to get an incredible spread. So let's look at the math. 62,000 residents, all of a sudden we have a 50-50 split perfectly between rural and urban. We have a city center in terms of Port Hope and Coburg. Now we can look at potentially joining those through a development with the two of those, opening up development between there. Why are we expanding Port Hope towards Toronto? Why aren't we expanding it? Like, Mr. Washburn, Robert, why is it that the County of Northumberland is drawing up a new plan and not a single representation of Coburg or Port Hope are on that committee? You see, The reality is Coburg and Port Hope at this time are the center and economic powerhouse of Northumberland County. So why aren't we working to unite those two to work together? Well, there's a lot of reasons why the smaller municipalities within Northumberland County would not want that to happen.
Staff argue that this is a fluid situation. We just alluded to that, and that they're responding to needs and they're collaborating. But they do say that having a plan is at their top of their minds. And they say that conversations are taking place and that the county will support individuals in the campment. Why is that not good enough?
I'm not saying it's not good enough, Robert. I'm saying that we need to do better always. And so while I can appreciate the sentiment, while I can appreciate, again, the staff at the county doing the best job they can, I want to be very clear at this. My criticism, Robert, is not with the staff. My criticism is with the leadership. My fellow councillors, the ones who have continually not funded social services within urban centers appropriately. And as a counter juxtaposition, I want to acknowledge incredible work of the county. Look at our paramedicine. Look at our incredible paramedicine programs to our rural neighbors. The county is incredible at particular services. I'm not saying the county is this horrific, or of course not. The county is incredible. They do all great work. They do incredible opportunities. Two things can be equally true at the same time. And when we look at the county, they are providing incredible services in some areas. And unfortunately, I believe that that's at the expense of services that are necessary in Coburg.
You were asked to provide an alternative solution at that meeting to the situation, to council and staff. What was it at that meeting you did described? What did you suggest?
Well, I think you know exactly what I suggest. I mean, Robert, there is no foolproof solution. No one's saying there is. But we need to have a plan that goes beyond a low barrier shelter in Coburg. What I said is we need to spread the county's web of social service delivery beyond just Coburg. You see, when you share the burden, or as a lot of people like to say, when you walk a mile in their shoes, perhaps my fellow councillors will stop speaking to me and all of Coburg residents with such arrogance and with such little understanding.
The warden argued you can't institutionalize people. Trent Hills Mayor Bob Crate responded to you as well. What was your reaction at that time to their answers to you?
Oh, it's the same as what I've experienced for 2 years, and I started to allude this at the beginning of this interview, Robert. I mean, it's really easy for all these mayors to act magnanimous, to act progressive when none of this is actually in their community affecting their voter base. But as I explained, like the reality is my fellow counselors, especially two, have been treating me like schoolyard bullies. And I'm not sitting here complaining, but what my response is they don't seem to understand that in less than a year, by all polls, by all indications of anyone who's paying attention politically, we're looking at a 4-year majority conservative federal government. I'm not saying I'm for or against this. I'm saying this is a reality that we're looking at. So we already know that this government is probably going to be taking an extremely dim view of illegal drugs, illegal drug use, encampments, and the like. So why aren't we proactively getting ahead of this so that we are addressing them in a more compassionate, well-rounded way?
But that sounds a bit speculative because
Okay,
we
then
don't
let's
know.
stop.
So yeah, I think
But
that's a
let's
good
stop,
idea too.
Robert. But
But here at the meeting, you asked for money put towards Coburg to help pay for what's going on.
well, actually, I want to be clear, it wasn't me. Coburg Council united and sent a
Oh.
delegation to county, and then Coburg Council ran a delegation to AMO to petition the province on the same thing. So I again agree with my council. The reality is county already does pay for police services. So I mean, the mayor of Brighton was actually incorrect when he says we don't pay for any policing in Coburg. They do. They pay us $300,000 a year to contribute towards our court services because we've already accepted that it's not fair that the Coburg police and the Coburg tax base have to pay for court services that serve the county. So we already have an example of the county helping us out.
So you want more help?
Of course I do. We've been asking for it for 2 years. But the problem is, and where the cessation talk started, is because it's been falling on deaf ears. Now, I want to go back. You said Mr. Crate and Mr. Crate refers to locking them all up and throwing away the key. Well, no. Let's look at what the NDP government in BC has just stated. You see, this is going to air after Wednesday when I'm going to be putting my notice of motion forward because I believe it's time to learn the lessons that the progressives in BC have already learned. When we have an NDP party announcing institutionalized care is necessary, I just want to hold that out there. Of course it is. And I've been saying this for 2 years. And I think all of us have understood that it's necessary. This fallacy that we're always going to meet people where they're at. We know we can't meet people where they're at when they're children. So we oftentimes have to infringe on the rights of those children to ensure they're protected. Similarly, when we have senior citizens who enter into dementia, we understand that we have to remove some of their rights in order to make the best decision for them. And I'm not sitting here decrying a return to institutionalized care of the 1960s or 70s. And I guarantee that's not what the NDP government of BC are suggesting either. But when the NDP government of BC, the government who 15 years ago did all of the things Northumberland County is suggesting we do now, has learned their lesson and is moving in a different direction, why do we have to spend the next 15 years turning Coburg into West Side Vancouver?
I'm going to go back to the meeting at County Council for just a moment. The debate became very personalized at one point, and you suggested, as you have even in this interview, that other members of County Council do not understand Coburg's situation. And you said the county is not serving the people of Coburg. The
I
warden
do.
reacted to you. What did you hear him say?
I believe, and I guess I can't quote, it was very intense, but I think it was something along the lines of, you better watch your tone. And I think what he meant to say is, you better not tell me what I know. And again, emotions were high. This is not a personal thing between me and the mayor of Brighton. This is a job we're both doing. And so I want to be very clear. I have no personal issues with the mayor of Brighton. However, I believe he told me to watch my tone, and I find it laughable because what are you going to do if I don't? You see, Mr. Washburn, Robert, they're confused. They're not my boss. And just because they've been in politics longer doesn't mean their opinions matter more than those who are new to the game.
But you responded to what the warden said and saying that he was more concerned about costs than doing the right thing.
Of course he is. Look at how he criticized our policing on your show as
And
too costly.
but he also, you said to him, you don't know what you're talking about.
No, I don't.
Why did you go there?
Well, because it's a fact. Neither the mayor of Brighton nor the mayor of Cramie have ever, ever, ever faced what we have in Coburg with the encampment, illegal drug use for almost 2 years period. It's laughable the inference that they know what we're going through.
All right, so on that then, as you've talked to me today and as you talked at that meeting, some people might look at that and saying you're being confrontational and that what you're doing is you're throwing away any political capital that you have to work out a solution.
Okay, well,
And I
that's
guess
one way.
I'm asking you now, are you doing that?
No, I'm a pragmatic person, Robert. I am someone who always comes vulnerable, authentic, and integral. That's just who I am, whether I'm talking to you before the interview, during the interview, on the council floor, or in the community, they'll realize there's no two Lucases. It's just Lucas. Both the good and the bad come all the time. So when you asked, well, you're being difficult, we'll say is the word. For 2 years, I have been trying pragmatically and to the best of my ability to be the kindest, most cooperative person. And I believe that has been misconstrued as uninformed and lucky. I believe they may not realize that 10 years in the oil and gas sector as a center Ontarian educated schoolie, as they used to call me, working with individuals who had served 20 years for murder and other horrendous crimes, that there was a political nuance developed in an environment like that that is actually quite useful in politics, where surviving is not a life and death situation, but a integrity situation. So, Mr. Washburn and Robert, I mean, I've tried for 2 years. I have 2 years left in this term. At some point, I have to accept that trying to get along isn't working. And at some point, I had to expect that my job is to represent the people of Coburg at that level. And I've told people, go on to my website. I've made three promises. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to be accountable and transparent to those mistakes. And I'm going to build teams. I tried to build teams on the county. It didn't work. I made the mistake of thinking we would be able to get together and make changes. I made that mistake. So now I've admitted those were mistakes I made because of my naivete. But I'm a fast learner. And so now my job is to be pragmatic, unemotional, and do my job to the best of my ability. I'm not trying, sir, to be difficult. And I'm not the one calling people names. I'm not the one threatening. I'm not the one referring to encampment residents as zoo animals or that they should be locked up. What I'm doing is asking the questions that no one else wants to ask, and then I'm being shamed for even asking them.
These comments that you keep referring back to that people have made to you, were these made in the public sessions of council or were they made in closed session?
Both. There are a lot on record. So, I mean, we can go back if you want. I know there's several members of the Coburg, but yes, a lot are in open session and you can chase. Just this last meeting, you can see it. I mean,
all right. But, so go ahead. I wanted to jump in on that then.
No, by all means.
After this debate, how do you see a way forward in resolving things? Because I wonder to some extent, and maybe there are others out there that would feel the same, that you may have damaged your ability to work effectively on the behalf of Coburg residents.
That would be one opinion. Not one I share.
All right. So how do you go forward then? Because I mean, you're making all these strong statements. You say you're standing up for Coburg, but you also understand that your political capital may be spent. So
listen, Robert, I'm going to tell you, and I'll sum it up really quickly.
Okay.
Bullies think that they can take you down by telling you to shut up, and they think that you'll cower and go away. Bullies think that they can threaten you and use alternative means to make you back down. Now, I know from years of being this person and dealing with bullies that the only way to deal with a bully is to stand up to them. Now, just because these particular mayors don't like me or don't like what I'm saying, they're never going to stop me raising actual factual concerns. You see, they will not silence me. And you're asking, well, how are we going to get along? How are we going to work together? Look at council at Coburg. That's how you get along. You have open, transparent, non-personal conversations on a floor. You disagree, and then you put it behind you. And you do that by ensuring council is in charge of council.
During our conversation today, you have made some strong statements on the intentions, the treatment, and other aspects of your fellow councillors. Do you wish to take away from the reputation of any of these individuals or publicly demean these people in any way as part of this conversation?
No, of course not, Robert. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to ask this question because, I mean, it's frustrating. Last council meeting, I want everyone to actually review the video. Before I spoke to a single member of staff at that council meeting, I appreciate the staff because it's not the staff's job to set policy and lead. That's our job. We're the elected officials. So every time, I want you to go back and look. I actually turn to the staff, and the first things out of my mouth anytime are thanks and appreciation. However, anytime I went to criticize and point out and ask difficult questions, I physically turned my chair to look at my counsel because my job is not to direct staff. My job is to work with my counsel to set policy, procedure, and direction. However, when the counsel that I'm supposed to work with keeps their fingers in the ears around the problems I've been advocating for 2 years, I'm a problem solver, Robert. And since I can't seem to get anywhere in this line of thought, I'm not going to keep trying. We're going to try a different route. So you asked earlier about what we're going to do to work together. I'm going to keep doing exactly what I've done. Show offers of support, be willing to meet, look for compromise, look for ways to share. Again, this isn't personal for me. This is a job. This is a job I was elected to do. And I take my responsibilities and my integrity exceptionally serious. So I will continue to fight for the people of Coburg without question until I am no longer able to. And I am always willing to meet with my county counterparts. I want nothing to besmirch any of their reputations. I don't believe that any of my counselors are bad people. They all got into this for the same reason I did, which is to help make their communities a better place. However, as I said before, when you are 44 kilometers away from ground zero, you do not understand, you cannot speak, and you should start listening to the people who are actually affected and understand. Just because they're not your voter base doesn't mean it's not your responsibility to hear them out.
Lucas Cleveland, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
As always, Robert, pleasure.
That was Coburg Mayor Lucas Cleveland. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast, or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.